Morning. We have the good fortune this morning of continuing Avodah Zarah. We are on Daf Gimel. Today is the second day of Avodah Zarah, and we continue from the bottom of the Amud. As I mentioned in the beginning, the Gemara treats us in the very beginning of the Masechta to a good amount of Agadita. We are continuing in the Agadah today. A lot of interesting stuff coming up today. Let's get underway. Yesterday the Gemara was discussing the relationship of the non-Jews and Torah. A complaint was filed by the non-Jews. We discussed how the nations of the world approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is all talking about on the other side, in the times of the future, times of Mashiach. I'm not really sure how to say it, but and they come up one by one to Kadosh Baruch Hu and they lodge a complaint to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, if you would have given us the Torah, we would have been fine. We would have followed the Torah. So that was the argument. We talked yesterday about how the Romans approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu and how the Persians approach the Kadosh Baruch Hu and all the other nations, and they all, you know, wanted a claim in the Torah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said back to them in his defense, you know, I gave you 7 mitzvahs. Did you keep those? So they didn't have anything to say. Now the Gemara ended off yesterday by a strange statement. The Gemara says, well, once the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that they didn't keep the 7 mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, so once they saw that they didn't keep the 7 mitzvahs, B'nai Noach, so then they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just said, okay, fine, you're off the hook. You don't have to keep the 7 mitzvahs, B'nai Noach. That's what we're up to in the Gemara, and that's where we're continuing from in terms of today. We're 3 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to start today from Uminayin de Lokimum. Right? 3 lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis. How do we know that they didn't keep the 7 mitzvahs B'nai Noach, right? The Gemara says, where does that, where can we source that to? Did Nei Rav Yosef, it was taught to us in a Braisa. Amar v'yamded aretz ra'a v'yater goyim. Literally, the pasuk means that he saw v'yater, he released them. So, my ra'a, ra'zai mitzvah shekibu aleim B'nai Noach, v'lo kimum, he saw that they weren't keeping the mitzvahs. Amar v'yitiran lahen. So, he was matir. He said, okay. He excused them. The Gemara is amazed. The Gemara says, "Idgure idgur," the profiting, meaning it doesn't make any sense. In other words, they didn't do the mitzvah, so therefore, okay, you're off the hook. You don't have to do the mitzvahs. Sounds like they're getting rewarded. Matzina chotin iskar, the Gemara says, we find that the sinner is getting rewarded. They're getting some sort of reward for not doing the mitzvahs. So amar mar berei deravina lomar sha'af apisha mekayim osam. So the Gemara says like this. You're right. They're not free from doing the mitzvahs. They're not going to get any reward for doing the mitzvahs. The Gemara says what? The Gemara says that's not true. If a non-Jew is involved in the learning of Torah, he's like a Kohen Gadol. How do I know that? So if a man, right, not a Jew, but a man is involved in the study of Torah, so he's going to v'chai behem, he's going to have a chiyus. It's not talking about a Kohen Levi Yisrael, it's talking about ha'adam. He's like a Kohen Gadol if a non-Jew learns Torah. So you see that there's certainly going to be a reward in him learning Torah. So, ela lama lecha, so the Gemara says, the Gemara modifies just a little bit. She'in mekabla malayim schar kemitzuva v'yosem. The level of reward is not going to be the same. It's not going to be, the reward that they're going to get is not for someone who is commanded to do the mitzvah, but rather like someone who is not commanded. Am Rabbi Chanina, the famous statement of Rabbi Chanina that comes up a number of times. Gadla mitzvah v'yoseh, yoseh misha'ena mitzvah v'yoseh. More reward is given to the one who is commanded to do it rather than one who does it voluntarily. The reason why Tosfos right here on the daf says is because when you're commanded to do something, you have more stress. You are just, in other words, now it's no longer I'm volunteering, it's now I got to do it. Once you have to do it, so there's a tremendous amount more stress, and for that extra stress, you get extra reward. Okay, a couple of things before we go on in the Gemara. Find that, and that's pretty much the end of that part of the discussion. Okay, so In quick synopsis, the Gemara is basically at the point of saying that the non-Jews, generally speaking, did not keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, and on account of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, you're arguing with me that you didn't get the Torah, and my counter-argument is you didn't even keep the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. So fine. And as a result of that also, The non-Jews were downgraded, and the reward they're going to get for, they're still obligated to do the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, but the reward they're going to get is going to be somewhat of a minimized, reduced reward. Okay, period. Just a couple of things over here. First of all, it says that a non-Jew who learns Torah is like a Kohen Gadol, right? Tosus is bothered by the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, not that long ago, we learned this Gemara, that the Gemara says over there, it's the second Tosus on the page, Oved Elilim Ha'osik B'Torah Chayv Misa, non-Jew is not allowed to engage in the study of Torah. So, how do you reconcile our Gemara and the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So, Tosus says that our Gemara is talking about, in terms of Torah study, Sheva Mitzvah Shalahem, meaning that they have a commandment to learn about their seven mitzvahs. That's when our Gemara says that they're Osek B'Torah, they're involved in the study of Torah, it means the laws that apply to them, right? The laws that don't apply to them, they shouldn't be engaged in that kind of learning. But the laws that apply to them, they should be engaged. Okay, simple, straightforward. They are compared to... they're compared to a Kohen Gadol. When they sit and learn Torah, they're compared to a Kohen Gadol. It sounds unbelievable. It sounds like the Gemara is giving them the best accolade. Again, going back to Tosos says not necessarily. A Kohen Gadol is on a very high level, but Tosos points out that if you have a Mamzer who's learning Torah, right, he's on a higher level than a Kohen Gadol, right? So Tosos points out that even when the Gemara is saying that a non-Jew who studies Torah is on a high level, but still, it's not the highest level possible, Tosos minimizes the amount, the level that he's at. All right, two small points over there. All right, continuing. We're back to the dialogue between the non-Jews and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, we just now finished one stage of the debate in terms of why didn't we get the Torah. Fine. Moving on to the next point. Good. So now that they're done talking about themselves, and now they said that they go to a place where they're comfortable. Let's talk about the Jews. The Jews aren't keeping the Torah. I'm on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, what do you mean? They do keep the Torah. Ani me'id b'hem shekimu satorah. And Hashem says, I'll testify that they keep the Torah. Shenemar. Sorry, Atar Kula Omrim Lefanav Rebbeinu Sha'olam. Sorry, Klum Yesh Av Shemeid Al Beno Dechziv Bni Bechori Yisrael. So the non-Jews say to Hashem, "You can't testify about the Jews. You have too close a relationship. You are like a father to the Jewish people. In fact, the pasuk says Bni Bechori Yisrael. So you are no Geb Be'edus. You can't testify because you are." Your family. So Hashem says, okay, fine, I won't testify, but heaven and earth will testify. So the non-Jews say, I'm going to disqualify heaven and earth as well. Evening and morning were created on the sixth day. Malamed Shehizna Kadosh Baruch Hu imase breishis. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with its creation. Va'amar, and God says to creation, to its creation, the following: Im Yisrael mekabel es Torasi mutav. If the Jewish people accept my Torah, that would be great. Ve'im lav ani achzer lechem l'tohu vavohu. I'm going to return you back to tohu vavohu. Va'amar chizke my dechsev. And just furthering this idea, just developing this idea a little bit more. Mishamayim mishmata din eretz yara v'shakata. The land was first afraid and then it settled. Im yara lama shakata v'im shakata lama yara. What does that mean? At first it's afraid, then it settled. What does that mean? Ela b'tchila yarata. Originally it was afraid, meaning that the only way that the earth, heaven and earth would sustain is if the Jews accepted the Torah. So not knowing whether or not the Jews are going to accept the Torah, it was afraid. Ulevesof shakata. But then it was shoke. But then after the Jews accepted the Torah, it was settled. So in other words, so in conclusion, this is now the counter argument that the nations of the world said to Hashem, Shamayim v'aretz can't testify because they need the Jewish people, and therefore they're no geah b'davar. Right? They, of course, they're going to testify the Jews kept the Torah. That's what they want. That's the conclusion they want. Therefore, they can't be objective witnesses. Am lam akash baruch hu mikem yavo v'yida behem b'yisrael shikimus the Torah kula. Fine. So Hashem says, look, I'll get you people to testify about the Jews. Right? And now we're going to go through a short historical lesson of how various non-Jews are clearly there and able to testify about Jews keeping the Torah. Yavo Nimrod, v'yayid ba'Avraham shelo avad avodas kochavim. So first we'll have Nimrod testify about Avram that he did not worship idolatry. In fact, he was preferred to be thrown into the Kivshan Ha'esh rather than be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Yavo Lavan v'yad b'Yaakov shel nechshad al hagezel. Lavan will testify about Yaakov that he didn't steal. Tavo Eishas Potiphera v'heid b'Yosef shel nechshad al ha'avera. The wife of Potiphera will come and testify that Yosef did not succumb to sexual immorality. Yavo Nevuchad Netzar v'yad b'chananya mishal v'azari shalo hishtachavu letzalem. Now we're going to have Nebuchadnezzar testify about the other three, meaning not Daniel, but Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, that they didn't bow down to the Tzalem. Yavo Daryavish v'yad b'Daniel shalo bital es ha'tfilah. Daryavish will testify about Daniel that even though Daryavish said anyone who davens is going to be killed, but nevertheless Daniel davened anyway. Yavo Beldad Hashuchi Vitsupar Hana'amasi V'alifas HaTemani, and the next the parentheses will skip. V'ye'idu b'hem Yisrael Shekimus Kol HaTorah Kula. These are the friends of Eov, and they're going to testify about the Jewish people that they kept the Torah. Shenamar Yitnu Eidehem V'yatzdiku Amar Lefanu Rebono Shel Olam Tena Lanu. I'm sorry. Period. V'yatzdiku. Period. Okay. So there will be people who are going to be able to testify about the Jewish people that they in fact kept the Torah. Amar Lefanu Rebono Shel Olam Tena Lanu Meirosh V'naasena. Okay. Fine. So now the non-Jews say to Hashem, "Fine, you're right. We didn't keep the seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach. All right. Guilty as charged." And the Jewish people did in fact keep the Torah. Fine, we don't have an argument over there. But let's start the clock again. And the non-Jews said, okay, give us a chance. Tanalanu meirosh v'na'asena. So let's start this all over again. Let's start with the Torah again and we'll do it. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says to them, it's too late. Shotem Sheba Olam. Mi Shetarach Be'er Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. If you prepare on Erev Shabbos, so then you get to eat on Shabbos. Mishalo tarach b'Erev Shabbos me'echan yochal b'Shabbos. But if you don't prepare on Erev Shabbos, you're not going to be able to eat on Shabbos. Gemara, right? It's a simple mashal. Look, it's too late. We're Shabbos already. Shabbos over here means that we are in, you know, we're on the other side. We're in the period of Mashiach or Olam Haba, whatever, however we want to say it. But we're on the other side. And it's just simply too late. Ella Afa Pekain, fine. So it's good. So now we're at the point in the Gemara where pretty much the conversation between Hashem and the non-Jews has now ended. And they want to hit the restart. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's too late. Ella Afa Pekain, mitzvah kala yeshli v'sukah shema. But Hashem says, look, let's try this one more time. Okay? I'll give you one last chance. I have this mitzvah, it's called sukkah. It's a mitzvah kala. It's a light mitzvah, right? An easy mitzvah. L'chuvah asu osa. Okay, let's try this one out. Okay? Okay, good. Sukkah is coming. Good. Gets us excited. ומי מצס אמרת הכי והאמר רבי יהושע בן לוי מה דכתיב אשר אנוכי מצווך היום היום לעשוסם ולא למחר לעשוסם היום לעשוסם ולא היום ליתן שכר. Gemara says, wait a second, you can't do that. Meaning that we're in the other side, we're no longer in this world, we're in the other world, and it's just too late. Meaning that this world is where we get the points, and the next world is where we enjoy them. And you can't flip it around. Right? We don't get reward in this world, and we can't do mitzvahs in the next world. So, right, so what's going on over here? Ela she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba bitrunya im briyosav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to try to give everybody a chance so that there would be no excuses. Meaning, you're right. The way the rules are set up, really, they shouldn't get a chance of doing the mitzvah, any mitzvah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give them one last opportunity. The Amai Kari Le Mitzvah Kala. Now, Sukkah is called Mitzvah Kala. Mishum delays be chisaron kes. So the Gemara says, because it doesn't cost anything. Sukkah doesn't cost anything. It's ein ba chisaron kes. It doesn't cost anything. What do you have to do? Just go out, chop down a couple trees, and there you are. Okay. It's funny, it doesn't say that about Lulav and Esrog. Lulav and Esrog clearly, you know. Anyway, miyad kol echa ve'echa nota v'holech v'osa sukkah b'rosh gago. So now we have a description of, again, this is, you know, homiletics, this is real agadita, right? But just, you know, just to give us some sort of sense of understanding of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Umos HaOlam. So there they are now building a sukkah in Asid Lavo on the top of their rooftops. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir aleim chama b'tkufas tamuz. And now out comes the sun. And not only out comes the sun, but out comes the sun in the summer. And we're here in South Florida, and it's hot, and, you know, without making any promises, it's going to be hot during Sukkot as well. And you know the feeling of sitting in the Sukkot in the hot sun. And they kick their Sukkah, and they leave their Sukkah. Shenemar, Pasuk in Tehillim, describes this. Second parak of Tehillim. Ninatka et mosro semo, v'nashlichu mimenu avo semo. The pasuk describes how they rip out the cords, meaning they can't stand it. It's too hot. So first of all, Makdir. So wait a second. The Gemara says, I'm a little confused. Didn't you just say that the whole point of giving the mitzvah of sukkah is to give them one last chance so they wouldn't have any excuses? And then you give them the mitzvah of sukkah, and then Hashem takes out the sun. So the Gemara says, no, taking out the sun is not anything different than what we experience. Mishom, Yisrael Nami Zimnei Dimashchala Tkufas Tamos Ad Chaga. What do you mean? Sometimes Sukkot falls out in the middle of the summer as well. This year is a perfect example, right? We are going to be experiencing Sukkot in the month of September. Right, and pretty in the middle of the month of September, we're going to be experiencing Sukkot. Good luck to us. Okay, good. So we get that as well. So the Gemara says, "Vahavelut Sara." So the Gemara, I'm sorry, Tamuz Ad Chag Vahavelut Sara. The Hamar Rabbi Mitzvah Potter Min Sukkah. So the Gemara says, "Wait a second. You also know the rule that if you are uncomfortable in the Sukkah, you don't have to sit in the Sukkah. There's no mitzvah to sit in the Sukkah. So it's raining. You don't have to sit in the Sukkah when it's raining." When it's extremely hot, you don't have to sit in the sukkah when it's hot as well. I know. That would mean that we never would have to sit in the sukkah. It's a logical conclusion, but, right, I'm certainly not going to, you know, endorse that. You know, should try to stick it out as much as possible in the sukkah. But the halacha is that a mitzta'er, someone who's uncomfortable, is pater min sukkah. Nihi de pater bu'ute mimiv ate. Gemara says, you're right. From a technical standpoint, we are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. But we don't kick the sukkah once we no longer have to sit in the sukkah. And if you go back and you see the story about the non-Jews and the sukkah, you'll see that they kicked the sukkah. So they showed a disdain towards the mitzvah, and that is what they're held accountable for. Okay. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev v'Mesachek Aleihem. And God gets a good laugh. Right? And once... And once the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees how they behaved towards the sukkah on that hot day, so he gets a good laugh. Shenema Yosha B'Shamayim Yitzchak. Going back to that same Perek in Tehillim, describing the non-Jews' reaction to the sukkah, the pasuk then goes on to describe Yosha B'Shamayim Yitzchak. Hashem laughs. And then the Gemara segues into a discussion, a lengthy discussion, about God and laughter. Okay, this is as egotic as it gets. Amar Yitzchak ein tzchok lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu ela osa yom bovad. That day, Kadosh Baruch Hu really had a knee slapper, like real laughter. Ege demasi lahad Rav Yitzchak ahad detanya. Now, some say that this statement of Rav Yitzchak, that God laughed on that day, goes on the following. Rabbi Yossi Amar lasit lavo bayin ovde kochavim umid gairim. On that day, along comes the non-Jews and they want to convert. Okay? Meaning, so here we are now, right, in the Olam Ha'asin, in the future world. So the non-Jews come up to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, okay, good, now we're ready to convert. Omi mekablin minayu. So the Gemara says it's too late. V'atanya mekablin gerim limos Mashiach. During the days of Mashiach, we no longer accept converts. It's too late. Gates closed. Kayotze ba lo kiblu gerim lo bimeidavet v'lo bimeishlamo. Similarly, They didn't accept converts during the times of David and Shlomo. The Rambam goes on to explain that during the days of David, because David was awesome, meaning he fought wars, he won wars, he conquered, and everybody was afraid, and the reason why anyone would want to convert during the days of David is out of fear. Shlomo, says the Rambam, is just the opposite. He was successful and prosperous, and everyone wants to be part of success. And so, therefore, during those periods of time, we assume that anyone who converts during the days of David and Shlomo are doing so not for sincere motivation and for the right reasons. And similarly, same thing for the Yemos HaMashiach, or during the days of Mashiach, where the Jews experience a total autonomy and a total rule of land. So again, we no longer accept Gerim at that point as well. Ela shenasu gerim gerurim. The Gemara says that they are gerim gerurim, meaning we don't accept them as converts, but on their own they convert. And they start putting mezuzahs on their house. They start wearing tefillin on their head, tefillin on their arm. They start wearing tzitzis. Okay, kaim and sheron milchemes gogu magog. However, at that time as well, they also are experiencing Gog and Magog. Now, Omer Lahem. Now, in our Gemara, the gears that we have in our Gemara is Omer Lahem. He says to them, really it's Omrim, meaning the non-Jews turn to Gog and Magog and they say, Ama Batem. What are you doing here? What's going on? Omrim Lo, and their response is, Allah Shem Amishicho. What do you mean? That's our job. Our job is to wage war against the Jews. Shenamar lama rikshu goyim ulo umim yehegu rik. Right, the nation shake ulo umim yehegu rik v'chol echad menatek mitzvaso v'holech. And once the non-Jews see the war that's waged of Gog and Magog, so immediately they take off their tefillin, they take down their mezuzah, they no longer wear their tzitzis. Shenamar, again back to our second parak in Tehillim, ninatka es mosro seimon. Okay, fine, period. The Gemara. All right, so again, more discussion in the Gemara about the non-Jews and during the period of Mashiach. It's interesting to just point out that of the two things that are being discussed, sukkah and Gog and Magog. You know, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you know, you follow the Haftarahs on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, so you'll see that Shabbos Chol HaMoed, we read about Gog and Magog. Right? There's some relationship, I don't fully understand it, but there's definitely some relationship between sukkah and Gog and Magog. It's certainly no coincidence that Gog and Magog, meaning that's the name of this nation, the word itself is Gog, right? Meaning it's a roof up above. And on Sukkah, the whole point of Sukkot is that we don't have a roof over our heads. We are without a roof over our heads. A little couple of twigs overhead, but no roof.
Also on Sukkah, don't we offer sacrifices on behalf of the nations?
Right, correct. Right, exactly. Right? Kevin Sharon Milchamas, fine. Okay. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Vakash Baruch Hu Yosef Masachik. Shenema Yosef B'Shamayim Yitzchak. Am Rav Yitzchak. Ein Lo Lakash Baruch Hu Schok Ela Osa Yom Bovad. And again, when seeing how the non-Jews reacted to Gog Magog and how they threw off all their, they threw out their tefillin and they took off their tzitzis and they no longer had mezuzah, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu also had a good laugh that day. Okay. Eni v'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav Shteim Esrei Shavos Avo Hayom. Okay. Gemara now is going to question. Rav Yitzchak teaches us that God had a laugh on that day and only that day. And now the Gemara is going to question exactly at what times does God laugh? I'm Rav Yehuda amar Rav Shteim Esrei Shavos Avo Hayom. The day is divided into 12 hours, right? Every day can be divided into 12 hours. It may not be 60 minutes, but still, 12 hours. Shalosh HaRishonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Oseh B'Torah. Now, for the first 3 hours of every day, God's learning Torah. Okay. I go back to what I've said many times with this Agadita. My understanding of all this is extraordinarily limited, right? I can read the words, I can translate. Do I fully understand this? Obviously, no. But for the first 3 hours of every day, God is sitting and learning Torah. Shnios Yoshe V'danis Kol Olam Kulo. During the second set of 3 hours, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the entire world. Kevin Sharosh and his Chayav Olam Klaya. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees, you know, the world cannot stand on din. Because if it's just Midas Adin, if it's justice, oh, the world's going to have a tough time surviving. It can't. It cannot survive on Midas Adin. Omed mikisei hadin v'yoshev al kisei rachamim. So he moves from his chair of din and he moves over to his chair of rachamim. Shlishi, so I'll come back and discuss that a little bit more in just a moment. On the third quarter of the day, Yoshev v'zanis kolam kulo mikarnei re'emim ad beitzei kinim. Kadosh Baruch Hu sustains the world and he provides food for every creature of the world. Revis. And then what did he do for that last quarter of the day? Yoshev, we are now from the hours of 3 to 6 on a perfect day, right? 3 to 6 in the afternoon. What does he do? Yoshev Mesachik im Livyasan. He plays with the Leviathan. Shenemar Livyasan ze yasarta lesachik bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs and plays with Livyasan. Okay. Couple things. Can you believe it? I have actually something to say about this. That's amazing. A couple things. Number one, share with you, before we look at Tosos together, you know, that explains our minhag on Rosh Hashanah, right? On Rosh Hashanah, we have one mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. It's blowing shofar. That's it. I know we have a long davening, and we have, you know, and we eat fruit, a lot of fruit, on the night of Rosh Hashanah, and we say a whole bunch of yiratzons, but we have one mitzvah, and the mitzvah is to blow shofar. Okay. You would think that really the right thing to do is to wake up in the morning on Rosh Hashanah and blow shofar right away, and we don't. Meaning, what do? First we daven shacharis, and then we read Torah, a half Torah, and then we blow shofar, right? And you'll say to me, well, okay, but that's because that's when the Machzor tells us to blow shofar. But that doesn't really explain it. That just simply says that's what the Machzor tells us to do. How come we don't blow shofar right away? It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah sayom, right? Usually when you have a mitzvah, you do it the first thing right away. It's the only mitzvah of the day. And yet we delay, we postpone it. So one of the explanations that's given is that, right? Okay, I don't have a source. Right? Okay, I got to go back and do a little more homework. But one of the explanations that's given is that because during the first hours of the day, as the Gemara over here describes, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Midas Hadin. He is in that, he's in that world of justice. And on Rosh Hashanah, we don't want to blow shofar during Midas Hadin. So therefore, that's why shofar is delayed. And we don't blow shofar until Musaf, right, or right before Musaf, because that's Midas Rachamim. We want that period to be a period of Midas Rachamim. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two, look at Tosus over here. Yeah, I found this to be unbelievably interesting. Third Tosus on the page. Shnius Yoshe Vidan. Tosus writes, Yesh Omrim. Tosus says, there are those who say, Ki lakach tiknu b'kedushas Musaf. Right, let's look at Kedusha on Musaf. Now, I know the Ashkenazic Musaf pretty well. I don't know the Sephardim. Can I borrow your
Musaf is Keter Yitenu.
Huh? Musaf on Shabbos.
Musaf on Shabbos, Keter Yitenu.
I know, but that's the first part. Yeah,
Isn't that the same?
No. He doesn't quote from that part of Musaf. He quotes from the next a couple lines later in Musaf.
We do say Musaf,
huh?
We do say.
Yeah, you say Musaf. Yeah, that that much I know. Okay, good.
Talking about Kedusha
of Musaf on Shabbos. Yep, you say the same thing, right? Mim komo yifan barachem av la'amo miyachadim shemo ervavoka b'chol yom tamid. Okay, good. So, right, Ashkenazim, Sfardim, now I could say it confidently. Both of us say this line of mim komo hu yifan barachemim, barachemav. Right. So. I think we say barachemim.
Yeah.
You say barachemav. So Tosos says lakach tiknu bedushas mosav lamar mim komo hu yifan. Look at what Tosos writes. What does that mean? Mimkomo hu yifen. He should turn from his place. What does that mean? So Tosos says, I'll tell you pshat and Musaf. Kistam Musaf mitpalalim sheyifne mikisei din l'shevet. I'm sorry. Kistam, I skipped a line in Tosos. Kistam Musaf bishnios ba, because Musaf usually comes now during that second quarter of the day. Now I know a lot of us daven at the Hashkama minyan and for us, it's not true. We're still davening Musaf early, right? But on the regular schedule,
9
the 9 o'clock minyan, the main minyan, which I never daven at, but the regular minyan. So Musaf typically comes now during the second quarter of the day. The azu yoshev vidan, the anu mispalalim, and that's what we're praying for in Musaf on Shabbos, which is typically during now the second quarter of the day. Sheyifne mikisei din lashevus mikisei rachamim, and that's what we're asking for. Hu yifen berachamim, you should turn to rachamim. Okay, it's a beautiful pshat in Musaf. By the way, Tosos, look at the next part of Tosos. The einira. Tosos says, I don't. I'm not buying it. I don't think that's the right pshat. Damai damaskin b'stamoch rishonu yoshev v'dan lo yitakin elavadai matbea shel tefila kachu. He says, I think that's just simply the nusach of davening. I don't know what Tosfos means by that.
That for Musaf or Shchodesh, we don't have that.
Right. Correct.
Because you say it earlier.
Okay, good. Look, Tosfos says it. Tosfos ends up not liking it, but okay. It is an interesting pshat in Musaf. Okay, so now we got days. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu's day order organized. Let's go over it again. First quarter of the day, he learns Torah. Second quarter of the day, he starts off with din. He moves to rachamim. Okay. Third quarter of the day, he's feeding and sustaining the whole world. And the fourth quarter of the day, he's playing. He's having fun. He's playing with Livia's son. Okay, good. And the Gemara is bothered. In other words, once you know the schedule, you're bothered by the fact that Rav Yitzchak says that's the only time God ever laughs. What do you mean the only time? God laughs every day. He plays with Liv Yasson every day. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak im briosav misachek v'al briosav eino misachek elo oso hayom b'avad. Right, you say this all the time. We're not laughing with you, we're laughing at you. And actually, we say it the other way around. We're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. Right? God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, laughs with His creation every single day. Only on one occasion did He laugh at His creation, and that was the time when the non-Jews rejected the mitzvah. Okay. After the destruction of the temple, Kadosh Baruch Hu never laughs. So the Gemara cites a number of psukim of where we get this idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu does not laugh after the destruction of the temple. Kadosh Baruch Hu mourned on that day. But the Gemara says, okay, that's right, that I understand that. But Dilma Ahu Yuma Visulal. But that only indicates that he mourned on that day. Right? That's not the statement. The statement was he never after destruction of the temple, he never laughs. Ela dichsiv mishkachesh Yerushalayim tishkachi minitit baklashoni lechiki im lo is karechi. So here, right, pasuk that we're all familiar with, right? A number of nice songs are made out of this pasuk, but right, tidbak lishoni lechiki. Right, my mouth is like stuck together. The Gemara simply says, okay, that just simply means the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't forget about the destruction. But maybe he still laughs every day. Hecheshesi me'olam acharish is apak. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Yeshayahu. The pasuk indicates that he was quiet, right? He does not laugh anymore. So we have a pasuk that indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not laugh after destruction. And if that's true, and the Gemara says it is, so what does he do for that last quarter of the day? Berevios, my Ovid, what would he do? Yoshev umalami tinok shal beis rabban Torah. He teaches school children Torah. Shenemar esmi yoredev esmi yavin shmua gemule mechalav atikei mishadayim. Those children who were just weaned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah. The Gemara darshans the pasuk from Yishayel lemi yoredev lemi yavin shmua legemule chalav ule atikei mishadayim. Now, so that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu occupies the last quarter of the day. Do I fully understand that? Of course not. But the Gemara says that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing during the last quarter of the day after destruction of the temple. Mikara man hava migmar lahu. Good. Now, so who taught them Torah before the destruction? Meaning, if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did now as the replacement of laughing and playing with Livyasan, so while the temple was around and while he was playing with Livyasan, so who taught the children? So some say it is one of his ministering angels, Mitachron, that's who taught the children Torah. Or you can give another answer and say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did both. Both play with Livyasan and teach children Torah. Okay. Uvalayla my Ovid. Now that we've gone over HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule during the day, so now what's the schedule of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at night? So some say that it's the same schedule at night that it is during the day, right? Broken up into quarters. Some say that he gets on his kruv. Vishat b'shmona asar elef olamos. Travels the 18,000 different worlds of the universe. Shenemar rechev elokim ribosayim alfei shanan. There is rechev Elohim, the chariots of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribosayim. Ribosayim means multiple 10,000s. Now, when we say multiple, we only assume two. We don't assume any more than that. So it's 20,000. Alfei shanan. Al tikra shanan el she'inan. Minus 2,000. 20,000 minus 2,000 is going to be 18,000. Travels the 18,000 worlds. Ibayis ema Yoshev v'shomei shira mipi chayos. Or another explanation of how God occupies every single evening is he listens to the shira of chayos. Chayos are a form of angels. We talk about them every single day in davening. Right? In davening, we talk about the chayos hakodesh. Shenemar yoma mitzvah Hashem chazdo uvalayla shiro imo. Okay, fine. Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to the songs of the Chayos HaKodesh. Amar Rabbi Levi Kol HaPosik B'Divrei Torah V'Osik B'Divrei Sicha Machin Lo Gechala V'Samen. Rabbi Levi says, anyone who stops learning Torah and gets involved in idle chat, not I-D-O-L, but I-D-L-E, is involved in idle chat, idle chatter, Machin Lo Gechala V'Samen, gets to consume hot coals. Shenemar HaKotefim Miluach Alai Siach Vishorish Resamim Lachmam. Meluach, Rashi says, comes from the word lachluchis, moist and moisture, and that's a reference to Torah, which is wet and sustains the world. Amrish Lakish Kalosik Batara Balaila Kosh Barhu Moshe Kalav Chut Shel Chesed, and anyone who learns Torah at night is Moshe Kalav Chut Shel Chesed, gets Chut Shel Chesed. There's no good English translation of Chut Shel Chesed. It translates like a grace, charm. Okay. But Yom Shenemar, Yom Mitzvah Hashem Chasdo, V'Laila Shiro Imo. Matam Yom Mitzvah Hashem Chasdo. How come he has Chesed during the day? Mishum De'Balayla Shiro Imi. Because he sings at night, and singing over here is a reference to learning Torah. The Rambam writes, by the way, that although there's a mitzvah to learn Torah day and night, the Rambam writes there is a special mitzvah to be engaged in the study of Torah at night. You know, the simple pshat in the Rambam, as is the Gemara as well, really a simple pshat in the Gemara, and not just learning Torah at night, I'm sorry, but Torah Shabbat Peh. right? Not Torah Shabbat Chassah, but Torah Shabbat Peh. The simple pshat is that night it's dark and you can't see, and so what are you going to do? You can't read. So good. So you are engaged now in the oral tradition, which is not written down, which is not, you know, the written word. It's the oral word, and you just simply, you know, you share it one with another. The very simple pshat in the Rambam. Igad Amr Amr Shlakish Kol Osik B'Tor B'Lamazeh Hadom LaLayla Hakadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Chalav Chusha Chesed B'Olam Haba Hadom LaYom. Another pshat is that anyone who engages in the study of Torah in this world is like night. It's dark. It's confusing. We don't understand it, right? Is going to get the chut shel chesed in the world to come, which is like yom, like daytime, in which everything will become enlightened and we will be illuminated. We'll have a much better understanding of what just happened. Shenemar yom amitzav Hashem chasdo. Fine. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. My dichsev. V'tasa adam kedage ayam keremes lo moshal bo. Okay, Adam will be, man will be like fish of the ocean. Lama nimshlo b'nei Adam kedage ayam. What kind of comparison is that? Why are we compared to like fish in the ocean? Lama lecha ma dagim shemiyam kevin shalom liyabiyasha miyad meisim. You know, fish can't survive without water. Once they leave water, they die immediately. Af b'nei Adam kevin shaporshim b'divrei Torah min hamitzvos miyad meisim. Once we leave Torah, we immediately die. Water to us is like, sorry, Torah to us is like water to the fish. Davar acher, something else to consider. Ma'adagin shabiyam kevin shekazru aleim chama miyad meisin. Once sun is exposed to, once fish is exposed to heat and direct sunlight, they're going to die. Kach b'nei Adam kevin shekazru aleim chama miyad meisim. So too, we can't have direct exposure to the sun. We're going to die immediately as well. Some say that it's talking about this world. Some talking about the next world. The Rabbi Chanina, the Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mitzinim apachim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, meaning God orchestrates and takes care of everything, except for tzinim apachim, except for the common cold. Right, that we're responsible for. Shenemar sinim pachim baderech ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. Right, when you go outside in the cold, you don't have to. In other words, you bundle up. Right, that's your decision to make. That's not Akash Baruch Hu doesn't control that. Right, so that's something which we're in control of, and so therefore, the intense heat, the intense cold, those elements. We have more control of, not the elements, but protection of ourselves from those elements. Okay, wow. Okay, good. All right, so again today, we are deep into the world of the Agarata. We will be continuing on this course for the next couple of days. The Gemara here finished off the discussion of the non-Jews that had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu over their relationship with Torah and the relationship with the seven Noahide laws. Akash Baruch Hu gave them one more chance to keep the Torah, either the mitzvah of Sukkah or maybe the mitzvah of Tefillin. They rejected that as well, and that ended that discussion. And then we went on to discuss at length Akash Baruch Hu's schedule during the day, and we talked a little bit about the second quarter of the day, going to Kisei Rachamim, to his throne of mercy. And we talked today a little bit about the mitzvah of Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, and possible pshat in the Musaf Tefillah of Mimkomo Hu Yifen Berachamim. Okay, good. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the bottom of the Amud. Good. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash Amatzakash Baruch Hu Zakim Sofi Chachir Ben Tzamitz Hashem Emar Amecha Feitz Amatzikoy Yagzot Rabbi Yadir.